Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, November 12th, 2019, and this is a 10 a.m. Eastern Time big book study meeting. Today we are reading from the big book. We're in the chapter How It Works. We're going to be on page 67 and unpack paragraph 3 today, which starts with notice that the word fear and then ends at the top of page 68 with to cause more trouble. Today's readers are the 12 steps, Joanne B., the 12 traditions, Cindy K., reading the text today, Don B., Kara L., and Shannon M., reading newcomers and getting sponsor contact info, Wendy B., so listen for her, and Leslie M. at the very end giving you some fantastic announcements. Stick around for all of that, please. The share ID numbers for yesterday's meeting, that would be Monday, November 11th, 10 a.m. meeting, is 13646, 13,646. And then for the 7 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting that happened just a bit ago, Tuesday, November 12, 2019, is 13650, 13,650 for the 7 a.m. meeting's share ID number. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Joanne B. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Hi, this is Joanne B., recovered in Texas. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food. Our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me serve.
Thank you, Joanne B. I will now ask Cindy K. to please read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning, everybody. This is Cindy K. from Kansas City, Missouri. Our 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous is number one. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Number two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority. a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Number three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Number four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Number five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Number six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Number seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Number eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Number nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. Number 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. Number 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. Number 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me serve, and have a good day.
Thank you, Cindy Kay. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting and a quiet recording, everyone's phone, except the speakers, should be muted. This, take note, would be the star 1 key function on your phone keypad only, please. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter How It Works on page 67, and we are focusing our study today on the third paragraph, which begins with, notice that the word fear is bracketed, and finishes at the top of page 68 with, to cause more trouble. And I will ask Don B. to begin this morning's study by reading that paragraph and then sharing on what her experience has been. Hi, Don.
Good morning. This is Don B., recovered in Southern California. Notice that the word fear is bracketed alongside the difficulties with Mr. Brown, Mrs. Jones, the employer, and the wife. This short word somehow touches every aspect of our lives. It is an evil and corroding thread. The fabric of our existence was shot through with it. It set in motion trains of circumstances which brought us misfortune we felt we didn't deserve. But did we not ourselves set the ball rolling? Sometimes we think fear ought to be classed with stealing. It seems to cause more trouble. Yeah, that's an excellent paragraph. Fear. And it talks about it being a corroding thread. So a corroding, looked that up, and it's a destructive, deteriorating, consuming, eroding, rusting. And it talks about it being shot through our existence, shot through the fabric of our existence. So I'm thinking of like a shotgun in producing multiple tiny holes in the fabric of our existence, which would make the fabric tear easily and be unrepairable by human power. And fear, how it ought to be classified with stealing, it causes more trouble. So it's very serious. And I love how we are encouraged in this program and through the steps to rid ourselves of fear by writing them all down and turning them all over to our higher power. And then in prayer and meditation as well to rid ourselves of fear. I do a walk oftentimes in the morning and call it my moving meditation time. And when I'll be walking, if I'm feeling fear, I'll do breathing exercises and I'll breathe in and say, I need you. And then breathing out fear, breathing in, I need you, God, breathing out fear. And that is just super calming. And then I'll also think of the fear prayer that we have. You know, God, please remove my fear and direct my attention to what you would have me be. And then just pausing and meditating and being open to what my higher power might say to me. And then I even ask myself the question, you know, thinking about my fear, if my higher power were going to speak directly to me regarding my fear, what might my higher power say? And then just clear my mind and be open to hearing what my higher power might speak directly to me. And some of the most powerful, amazing things have come to me when I'm asking for my higher power. You know, if my higher power were going to speak directly, what might my higher power say? And just beautiful things such as, Dawn, you are loved more than you can begin to imagine with your mind. You are precious in my eyes, and I love you. And you don't need to worry, because all is well, because I'm in charge and you are not. You can picture yourself holding my hand when you're dealing with this person or walking through this situation. I will give you everything you need to do my will, exactly as I would delight in it being done. Don't be afraid. You don't need to worry. And it's just a wonderful thing, all that this program teaches us, to clearly identify our fears and turn it over to our higher power and let God carry it. So that's all I have. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Dawn B. Time has come that sharing is open for all that would like to comment on that paragraph, paragraph 3, page 67. What the directions in the big book mean to you. I'll take your first name and first initial of your last name, please.
Wendy B.
I know that there were several more before I heard Wendy B. So
Caroline L. Kathy D.
Caroline L.
Bruce in Florida.
And did I hear Kathleen? I got Bruce. I wanted to know if I heard a Caroline or something like that. Caroline B.
Kathy D.
Caroline L.
Somebody beside you, Stacy, I heard from Colorado. Can I get that name, please?
Kathy D.
Kathy B. from Colorado. And then I got Stacy. Is that
Florida.
Stacy K? I got you, Bruce.
Amanda R.
Wanted to make sure that I heard Stacy. Did I hear Stacy K?
Yes. Yes, Melanie. That was me. Yes,
great.
Thank you.
Thanks. And then I got Amanda R. That's my six for right now. We're going to do another lineup, so hang tight. So I have Caroline B., Kathy B., Wendy B., Bruce E., Stacy K., and Amanda R. Hi, Caroline.
Hi, this is Caroline, and I'm Caroline L., as in love. And I'm a compulsive overeater. And I just wanted to share that I'm very grateful for the vision and how I completely related to when I'm taking a walk, breathing in God's love, and breathing out any fear I have. And with that, I pass.
Okay, thanks. Caroline L. Kathy B., you're next, and then Wendy B.
Hi, it's Kathy D. in Colorado. May I be heard?
Sure.
Thank you.
I'll let you know.
So, that this is such a great, great passage. Honestly, more than any other passage in the big book, this speaks to me because I have had my life basically has been motivated by fear. And when I recently did my fear inventory, my sponsor had me look at it from a new angle, which was, okay, don't just list your fear, like I'm afraid of losing my kid. That's a huge one for me, one of my kids getting sick and dying or committing suicide. But look at it, start drilling down. Okay, then what? So if I'm afraid this will happen to my child, then what? You know, then, and every single fear that I had after I kind of drilled it down to see what fear was under the fear, it was always, then I will be sad. It was as simple as that. Then I will be sad. Or it could be something like, then I will be frustrated, then I will be angry, then, you know. And so when I really boil down the fears to their very bottom component, I did see that everything was about me not getting what I want, or the fear of not getting what I want, or losing what I have. Losing what I have is a huge one. I can say in my own life that it has been an evil and corrosive thread. I've had a lot of anxiety. And as I'm working through these steps, I'm finally having the willingness to just give it to God and to quit playing God. Humility is what, for me, is the healer of the fear. And the more I practice that, the more I practice turning over my day, turning over my moment, turning over my resentment, turning over my fear, I'm having peace like I don't know that I've ever had. So I'll tell you what, the steps, they work. And really going line for line through this big book, it is a healer of fear and a healer of pain. And I'm thankful. Kathy in Colorado.
Thanks so much, Kathy. Wendy B., you're next, and then Bruce E.
Yeah, hi, this is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona, and like the previous speaker, I did my fear inventory once, and almost every fear I had, when I looked at it, you know, why do I have this fear, and then boil it down further, why do I have that fear, you know, it boiled down to, you know, that I'm alone and uncomfortable, and there's no God, and, you know, that I'm left to fend for myself. And my self-reliance fails me. You know, it doesn't meet my need. You know, I need an all-sufficient, powerful God to meet all my needs. You know, and when I'm relying on myself, I turn to substances or other people or things, you know, to try to give me security. And that never works. You know, it's a God-shaped hole that I'm trying to fill. You know, and that the fabric of my existence was shot through with trying to meet my needs in selfish ways, you know. So now that God has revealed himself to me, you know, that he really is deep down inside of me, you know, he's available to help whenever I ask. You know, he's become my stable, safe place, you know, and I just need to do this daily work, you know, to dismantle the lies I still so easily believe, you know, that block me off from God. And that's all I have. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks so much, Wendy B. Bruce E., it's your time for 3 minutes, and then Stacey K. will come after you.
Hello, this is Bruce E. I'm recovering. I'm down in Florida now. And thanks, Melanie, and thanks, everybody, on this call. It's just been tremendous already, and this call just started. Notice that the fear is bracketed alongside the difficulties of Mr. Brown, Mrs. Jones, the employer, and the wife. Well, when I look back on, excuse me, page 65, yeah, I look at Mr. Brown, okay, well, hey, no wonder the guy's fearful because he's going to lose his, Mr. Brown's going to take his wife from him. And Mrs. Jones took his best friend away, so he's fearful. So you see, it's lost there. His employer, there's fear there because he's going to lose his job probably if something doesn't happen. And his wife, he's going to lose his marriage. So fear, there's a loss in all of those. And as I write these 10 steps, which I've been writing a lot of them lately, pretty much every day and calling people and sharing with them, these 10 steps, fear is in all of them. You know, even though it starts out being resentment, it turns out that there's fear in there about something. And many times it's the loss. And this short word somehow touches about every aspect of our lives. Excuse me. I've had fear since I was 8 years old about a ghost story I heard. And it's touched every aspect of my life. And this fear does touch every aspect of my life. But it's great that we've got this fear prayer. God, please take away my fear of this because of this and direct my attention to what you'd have me be. And that means letting go of the loss. I probably won't lose it anyway. And turn into my higher power. Evil and corroding thread, the fabric of our existence, shot through. I have been shot through with this thing. I have, my life has been a series of not being successful the way I could have been if I wouldn't have had this fear. I mean, I'm just not talking about, you know, ego here, but, you know, really, I could have done a lot better in a lot of areas if I wouldn't have had this fear. And, I guess that's probably about it, and I'll pass with that. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Bruce E. Now we're looking at Stacy K. Your 3 minutes, madam, and then Amanda R. will follow you.
Hi, Melanie. Good morning, everybody. This is Stacy K. in Colorado. It set in motion trains of circumstances which brought us misfortune, which we felt we didn't deserve. I love that. And it kind of reminds me of the self-fulfilling prophecy, you know. Things just don't go well when I go about doing them in this fear, trying to control, trying to manage, right? Because isn't my fear self-centered, right? That's at the root of my troubles. And it causes, I set the ball rolling because I'm in fear. So I'm going to try to control or manipulate, my son because, oh my God, you know, like he can't do this on his own or I don't want to let him go out at night, blah, 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 you know? And it's like, I just make more problems instead of relying on that power and trusting God and the brains God gave me to use. Yes, that too. And so I just love, you know, how this works. And, one of my big book sponsors would say, if you take nice next right action, right, the step today, what is there to fear? You know, and I'd be like, oh, wow, do I really believe, you know, when I get to this point, do I really believe that there's a power greater than me? And, you know, when I say yes, of course I'm going to say yes, I believe, you know, it's like she's absolutely right. There's nothing to fear. And when I go through life without that, when I have discussions with my son or my husband or whatever difficulty I'm having, it's amazing. It's amazing what happens when God's there with me instead of Stacy running the show. So that's all I got. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Stacy K. Amanda R., it's your turn for 3 minutes, and then we'll open up the lines for a few more folks to share today. Hi, Amanda.
Hi, this is Amanda R., and I'm a compulsive overeater from Maine. And I used to get really insulted by that sentence where it says, sometimes we think fear ought to be classed with stealing. It seems to cause more trouble. Actually, two sentences. I'm like, hey, wait, you're saying if I'm afraid that I'm a bad person, like somebody who steals? And what I realized is, no, that's not really what they're saying. They're saying it causes a lot of trouble. It's not saying I've got some moral failing. It's honestly saying I'm human. Is it a problem? Yes, very much. Going to have to address it with God's help. But it isn't saying, like, shaking your finger at me, saying what a bad person. And I was part of Vision for You for a couple years, and I went into a big relapse. It was awful. And I tried to get into various treatment programs, you know, the standard like residential eating disorder treatment. Didn't really know if they were 12-step or not. But I'm from Maine. We're kind of in the woods. We don't have any of those programs in the state. And I couldn't get into the out-of-state ones because my insurance wouldn't cover it. So I fell into this real pit of anger and self-pity and despair. And there was my train of circumstances which brought me misfortune I felt I didn't deserve. Here I was, suffering awfully with an eating disorder. Didn't have money. People say no because you don't have the money. I'm like, well, what the heck? I'd be a worthwhile person if I had the money. But what's the fear that set in motion that train of circumstances? What's my part in this? My part is my fear of coming back to Vision for You. Very specifically, it was a fear that it was going to make my life worse instead of better. I just got to be honest, that was there, and I had to deal with that in my fourth step this time around. So, yeah, if I had checked this out with God, really prayed about going back to Vision for You, I'm pretty sure I would have realized what I then later realized in a fourth step to be reasonable, that this is not going to ruin my life, that this can be different than the last time around. It didn't ruin my life the last time around. By the way, I just had another addiction that I wasn't addressing that made everything all complicated. But now I am a double winner with two programs and significantly more freedom, and just seeing that fear for what it is, which is a lot of it's my own attitudes. So I will pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Amanda R. The lines are open for additional comments on paragraph 3, page 67 in your big book. If you'd like to comment the directions in that section for you, I'd love to hear from you. What's your first name and the first initial of your last name?
Laura.
Kelly. I heard a Laura, and I heard a Kelly, and I heard a Mary.
Jen Z.
Laura W.
Jen Z, Laura W, that's what we got for the very beginning, I think. Okay?
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else?
Tracy K.
Tracy. Is it true I heard somebody by the name of Kelly? Hi, Magdalena. That'll be it, please. Did I hear somebody by the name of Kelly? Is that true?
Yeah, it was Kelly S.
Oh, great. Thanks, Kelly. Okay, this is what I have. Let's go with this for now. Laura W, Kelly S, Mary A B, Jen Z, Tracy K, and Magdalena W. Hey, Laura, hello, Tung.
Good morning, Melanie. Thank you so much. This is the first time I've had a chance to share on this meeting, and I'm so grateful. I've been listening and been part of a Vision for You since August of this year, and I just have 90 days of abstinence today and was given the okay to sponsor, and I'm thrilled. So I'm in California, and I just wanted to share about this word fear. The first time I heard of this concept of fear being the root of all of our, how it touches every aspect of our life and how it is an evil and corroding thread, was from my priest who was in Alcoholics Anonymous. He was 20 years sober, and many of his sermons had wonderful 12-step themes in them that no one knew about. But he said, you know, he shared with me that fear was the root of all of our, the things that the feelings that got us into trouble and, brought us the misfortune we felt we didn't deserve, all of that set motion train circumstances and such. I love the acronyms fear, fight everything and run, fear, false evidence, appearing real, all of those things. And when I do my inventory, my fear inventory, and it always came down to what would God have me be, and And, you know, I heard it on this meeting, and I just thank everyone for their shares because they're all beautiful, that God would have me be a faithful woman who trusted in him and put my faith in his love and his care for me, and to breathe in God and to breathe out fear. I love that, Dawn, on the morning meditation, walking and breathing in God and breathing out fear. And our beautiful prayer, you know, God, please remove my fear and direct my attention to what you would have me be. I lived in fear as a child. I grew up with a paranoid schizophrenic mother, bless her heart. She was a sick woman, you know, and she raged, and she, you know, there was some physical abuse, but, you know, that's the way it was back then. I'm 66 years old, and so, you know, we got spanked. It was just called spanking. That was it. Sometimes it was with something with a little bit more than a hand, you know, but there was a lot of fear in my life, and I turned to food, and just like so many of us on this line, I'm just so grateful to be a member of, thank you, of a group of people that are just like-minded. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Laura. Kelly S., your 3 minutes, madam, and then Mary A.B. will come after you.
Well, good morning, friends. Kelly S., recovered compulsive overeater and been bulimic in Oklahoma. Thanks for your service, Mel. So grateful to be on the line and sharing this because fear has been an evil and corroding thread that I wasn't ever able or willing to see. And it's been like just crazy to me lately. So I have 4.5 years, a little over 4.5 years now of recovered abstinence. And it's just been in the last year that I'm just seeing this so much. I mean, yes, I address those big fears in my original inventory. But, you know, as we all know, it's the day-to-day stuff. You know, it's my inability to handle life. And so this is my thing is I'm really good at resentment and anger. And because those somehow in my sick mind, that feels like power and control. And so I'm always going to my resentment sheets. I'll get at my resentment sheets. I'll get into my, you know, I'll look at that. You know, I'm pissed. I'm angry. And, you know, God gives us what we need. And I had to get a new sponsor about 10 months ago, and it wasn't my choice because my sponsor relapsed. And of course that was, I was not happy about that. So, so I started working with this lady who I loved, but you know, God gives us what we need. And she has been lovingly guiding me into looking at my fears because the truth is fear to me is very scary. It feels very powerless. I get it. We're powerless over everything, but fear is really hard. And so she'll say, you know, I just, you know, underneath all of this stuff is fear. It's all fear, sadness. And, you know, it's just been really hard. And I know you guys were talking about God taking away our fears. And I know God does that. But what I have been having to learn today, too, is God is going to help me get through these fears, you know, because I don't want to deal with feelings. I'm not good with feelings. I want to change my feelings. And so I've been getting this message recently, very powerful, that, you know, sometimes I just need to sit with this and pray and God, I have to trust that God's going to get me through this. And I do that, breathe in faith, breathe out fear. And I'm just having to lean into my God more and know that I'm going to be okay. I know it's all about balance, you know. You know, I have to feel my feelings. I don't want to get into self-pity or morbid reflection, but then I can't deny them. And it's all, I'm so glad that I'm doing this and it's a WE program. But, you know, I'm just having to acknowledge this evil encroaching thread of fear in my life today in this last year. So, you know, again, it is a process, and just like my diseases progressively can worsen, my recovery progressively gets better as I continue this path, and my dimmer switch is clicking on brighter and brighter, and some of the stuff is scary, but you know what? Today I'm willing to do the work, and I'm so grateful for that, and I'm looking forward to seeing everybody this weekend. If you're there, I'm working registration 3 to 6. Come meet me and say hi, and with that, I pass. Thanks, Mel.
Hallelujah. Thanks so much. Excellent. Okay, Mary A.B., your 3 minutes, madam, and then we'll look at what Gen Z has to share about. Hi, Mary.
Okay. Good morning, Melanie. Good morning, everybody. This is Mary A.B., gratefully recovered in Central California. I have heard so many people share about the fear of travel and the fear of flying and so forth this morning that I wanted to share my cruising experience. I did have a fear of the ocean. I think I still do somewhat. But anyway, I've been on a number of cruises, and the first few were I was with OA people. So easy deasy, and we ate in the dining room because, you know, we could all be together. And all I had heard before I ever went on my first cruise was, oh, the buffet. Oh, my gosh, the buffet on a cruise ship. I was so terrified of the buffet when I went on my first few cruises. I didn't even know what level the thing was on. I wouldn't go there. Well, one day I was with other than OA people and wound up at the buffet and found it the most wonderful place to be abstinent. It was just wonderful. And many times my husband and I gave up on the dining room and went to the buffet instead. But anyway, somebody in program came up to me one day and said, Mary, how can you go on cruises? Oh my gosh, it's all food and drink, and how can you do that? And I looked at her and said, you know, my higher power loves cruising. My higher power loves cruising so much that he's on that ship before I ever get to the dock. And that is the way it is. He loves to fly. He loves to drive a car. I just have to remember who is in the lead. And well, I just hope that helps. I'm sending hugs to all of you who are going to be there, because I won't be there this weekend. Going to miss it. Been to the first two. And I'm just really grateful. Hope that helps somebody. Thank you very much. And I pass.
Thank you, Mary A.B. Jan Z, your 3 minutes, madam, and then Tracy will follow you. Tracy K.
Hi, everybody. My name is Jen Z from Kentucky. I usually don't share, but when it's about fear, something that's plagued me my whole life, I felt compelled to share. I've been in program for 4 years, and the beginning of program for me, I was plagued with fear, mainly about my past. And having gone through some fourth steps, thank goodness my higher powers released me from a lot of the fear. So sitting here, I'm thinking, what am I so afraid about today? And it's all centered around my marriage, my parenting, my husband, my kids. And it's the day-to-day. And honestly, I don't know that. I think that's the kind of fear that I'm just going to have to battle all the time, even when my kids are out of my house. What are they doing? Are they safe? Did they get into a car accident? That's the kind of fear that I'm just going to have to deal with every single day. And so I started thinking just a few days ago, I got into an argument with my husband. And thankfully, the 12 steps helps me to forensically look back at what I was thinking and feeling before I kind of burst it out into rage. And it was fear. It was fear that I acquiesce so much that I'm going to lose my identity as Jen and who I am, and just be a doormat. And so I finally just stood up for myself and just lashed out, and it was all fear, which in turn causes fear for my kids, because they came up to me shortly after that and said, whenever you and Dad argue like that, I'm afraid you're going to get a divorce. So you see how fear multiplies? It starts with me. It creates an unhealthy, unsafe environment for my kids because they're watching me and my husband argue, only because I'm fearful that I'm going to lose my identity as a person because I'm acquiescing so much, which is ridiculous because marriage is give and take. And that's what we do in our marriage. We do give and take, and it first of all stole what would have been a peaceful, harmonious, safe environment for our family that night, and it also multiplied my fear from me to my kids, because now they're walking around like, am I gonna have to spend you know, some time with my dad and some time with my mom, all because I had this irrational fear that I was going to lose my identity. I read in a special edition, I listened to a special edition from a recovered person who said, what you want to get, the opposite of fear is trust in my higher power. And I think even before that, I needed to believe in a higher power that loved me, because I, for a long time, believed in a higher power that was punitive. So why would I even trust a higher power like that? So I needed to believe in a higher power that loved me, and in turn, I needed to trust my higher power. And then ultimately have no expectations of the outcome. That's my goal. I don't want to have any expectations of the outcome. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Gen Z. Tracy K., you're up, and then Magdalena W. will follow you.
Hi, I'm Tracy. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Canada. I want to share on how important the fourth step has been to me in my life. I spent so long, I spent decades in the food, driven by things that I wasn't even aware of. I wasn't aware of my thinking. I wasn't aware of my emotions. Anything would come up and I would eat. So working through the inventory process was just a remarkable, remarkable thing for me. I saw how I was actually functioning in the world. And I really like the line, notice that the word fear is bracketed alongside the difficulties. I find that whenever I do a resentment inventory, there's always a fear involved. Whenever I'm being selfish or dishonest, there's usually some fear involved. I'm afraid of losing something. I'm afraid of not getting what I want. I'm afraid of being hurt. It's fear, fear, fear all over the place. When I first went through the steps with the big book and started living in steps 10, 11, and 12, I felt like I was overcome with a tsunami of fear because I didn't have all the binging to put down all my emotions, and I was trying to live in the world in a new way. And I really came to understand that fear is an evil and corroding thread. God had come into my life, started to become aware of what God wanted for me, and I wanted to become that person. I wanted to become the person that God would have me be. But I was so afraid. And I can look back over my life now and see where fear has undermined all of the good things that God would want for me. And so it's so important for me to work the steps every day. And in particular, whenever I do have a fear, to use the fear prayer and to give things over to God, to rely on infinite God rather than my finite self, because then I'm handed over to the powers of good when I do that. And if I don't surrender that to God, if I don't surrender to His infinite care, fear continues to be an evil and corroding thread, and my life is not 1/100th of what it could be. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Tracy K. Magdalena W., your 3 minutes. Star one, Magdalena. How are you doing? Are you there almost? Magdalena W. In the interest of time, I'm going to open it up then for probably one more person to share. Unfortunately, we don't hear from Magdalena. Technology, you know. Is there one person that would like to comment on paragraph 3, page 67, before we close out this sharing time? Press star 1.
Arlene.
Gotcha. Arlene, what's the first initial of your last name for the folks to hear?
B.
Okay. Arlene D. Your 3 minutes, Madam, are starting now.
Yeah, thank you. I've been listening to everybody, and I'm so grateful for this meeting. My food has been a little sketchy. I'm abstinent now, thank God. I had lost some weight, and then for me, got back into the sugar, and you know, it's particular place I was going to go buy and buy, and never one thing, it's a lot. And the last three or four nights, I haven't. You know, I wanted to, and my car was like headed there. And then I think to myself, you know, that's never been my answer. And I kind of want it to be my answer, but it's not. And, you know, my husband's in rehab. He was in the hospital. He's in rehab and just a lot of medical issues. And he's doing great, but I need to find ways to take care of myself, which is, people always say that, and I sometimes think it's difficult, but I realize that it's really easy in a sense. It's listening to this. It's, you know, being in the steps and being out of fear, because I do believe that worry and fear has never helped anything. It's such a useless energy, and yet it's hard and difficult to move past that. I understand that. I do get a lot of support also from outside, but I have a lot of people I can be in contact with. Oh, I have been in for a long time, and I guess I have to say that I'm really grateful that, you know, I didn't stop for my binge food last night and the night before, or the night before, that I was able to make a phone call. And sometimes I don't even know what the feeling is and why I want it, and it's probably fear. I just want something to block everything out, and I can't even really say what it is, but I do know that when I do pass it by and I don't have it, that I can wake up and I can not hate myself this morning. And you know, I'm very grateful for that. I do have a higher power, and I need to call on him more. And I do know that I hear people who are really successful, but they work at it. You know, they have morning routines, things that they do. And someone told me that she listened to phone meetings and it really helped her. And so here I am on this line. And, you know, I'm really grateful that you're here. I think it was yesterday, the day before, I tuned in to you, and I ended up falling asleep. I thought, well, maybe I got some of it from osmosis, but the main thing is that I took the action, and I called you, and you know, I joined my brothers and sisters in recovery.
Time.
And I just want to thank you very much.
Thanks so much, Arlene. It looks like we have time for a 2-minute share, maybe 190 or something like that.
Magdalena, I'm sorry, I got lost.
Oh, there you are. You're now found.
Thank you.
You want to take 90 seconds or something here?
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much for the meeting. Thank you so much for the meeting, Magdalena W. from the UK. What hit me was what people said about what's under the fear, and it's an emotion or something. For me, it's the desolation of being alone in a world without God. And, you know, that happened to me, I think, sometime in child or babyhood, where, because my parents were, you know, only doing the best they could, that's when I lost that birthright, which is my connection with God. And I have to work my program, not just every day, but every hour sometimes, to keep that. And on an ordinary day, when there isn't anything special to be afraid of, just something can shoot through my fabric. And, you know, I found it to be true through my step 11, my 10, 11 and 12. I found it to be very true that I can set in train the circumstances by fearing them myself. I've discovered that if I keep my step 10s going and I keep myself clear, I'm less likely to act out on those hidden parts of myself that invite fear and the reality of fear into my life. You know, at the same time, hopefully God is, you know, clearing me whilst I do my step 11 and, you know, in that conscious contact. So I'm, you know, this paragraph has such a lot in it. It's difficult to accept that I might set the ball rolling on my own fear, but I do believe it's true after the work I've done in recovery.
Time.
Very grateful. I think that's 90 seconds. Thank you. Bye-bye.
It is. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. And that takes us to the close of our
sharing time here in the recorded portion, so we're going to close that out. But don't leave. We have some other things to do after the recording is stopped, which is greet newcomers, get sponsor contact, and give you some announcements. But in meantime, I'd like to ask Kara L., please, to close us out by reading page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Good morning. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.